Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Lord, come to our assistance. Lord, make haste to help us. Jesus 911. Two-man car, Jess Romero, Dan Schneider. Wednesday's high-level spiritual warfare. This is going to be a very practical show because this is a topic. We're just starting around the country the 40 days for life. So a lot of guys are ramping up and they're starting to say, you know what, I got to participate. I got to go out there and pray in front of the abortion clinic. I got to get involved. And it especially happens when a man has a conversion. Once a man has a conversion, he realizes he has to start putting some feet to his faith. And one of the things you'll find a lot of men doing, they'll start getting involved in praying in front of abortion clinics. And this is happening around the country. But the question that we're going to be talking about today, oftentimes there's Catholic men that are very zealous, and they start putting miraculous medals or St. Benedict's medals all around the abortion clinics. They start, dousing the building with holy water. So we're going to talk to Dan Schneider. We're going to talk about the do's and don'ts when you go out there and you get involved in pro-life work. So, Dan, it's good to – I'm glad you're back. You've been gone for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've been out on special assignment, undercover work, so – I'm back in plain clothes and plain sight, just walking the beat today.
Okay.
10-8 cool. For Jesus with my good friend Jesse Romero.
So, Dan, you've probably seen a lot of guys that when they have that conversion experience, they go to a retreat. One of the things that a guy will do, they'll say, man, I got to start getting involved and go pray in front of an abortion clinic.
Yeah.
But that's what we want to talk about today, Dan. A lot of guys get very very, very zealous. Like they'll take a bunch of sacramentals and bury them around the building, and they'll start doing, imprecatory prayers, and they'll start dousing the building with holy water, and casting out demons. Talk to us, Dan, about what are some of the safe things that a man should do when he goes out there and he prays in front of an abortion clinic. What would you recommend?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I met with the guys at Tam Books. They're fantastic guys, by the way, Patrick O'Hearn, Connor Gallagher, great guys over there. And they gave me a book called Custos on St. Joseph. And I was looking, just fingering through this book.
I got it too. I got it.
Oh, okay, good. It's a very good book. So I'm reading through this. And there's like a list of things for men to do, right? And I started going through and it said something like, spend 10 minutes with your wife, affirm your wife every day, do something kind for your wife every day, right? So I was looking through that and it just struck me. And I thought, okay, here's the issue we have to be careful of, that we're trying to do high level spiritual briefings, right? But we have to not lose sight of the very basics. You know, this is Vince Lombardi, football season. Gentlemen, this is a football. Start at the basics. So you want to be like St. Joseph, you have to live a Josephite life, a life of love and sacrifice for your wife. Very simple, right? I'm reminded of a good friend of mine who's a retired Green Beret, full bird colonel. So he's real deal. His first deployment downrange at the beginning of the war on terror, he went to the Philippines and he was going to go help fight the bad guys, right? And he gets there and he was so frustrated because he couldn't fight the bad guys and do his Green Beret work, which is basically spooky work, going inside, organizing, training, deep level, how to map, how to fight, counterfight weapons, demolitions, all this cool stuff. He gets there and he has to spend his entire time there teaching them field sanitation. This is a river. This is not a toilet, okay? This is the river that you drink from. Here's how you purify your water. You don't go to the bathroom in the same water that you drink, okay? You don't defecate in the middle of the camp, you see? So teaching them basic stuff. This is how you avoid dysentery, because if you got dysentery or you got trench foot, you got rotten teeth, swollen gums, and your teeth are falling off and bleeding, you can't be a good combatant. So sometimes we lose sight of the fact that I want to go out and do this high-level spiritual warfare stuff, and the very basics is needs to be remembered. This is a river. This is not a toilet. The bathroom isn't, you don't crap where you eat type of thing. Very basic stuff. So learning the basics first, keep that in mind. But know that when you walk into any apostolate, specifically things like spiritual, involved in spiritual warfare, you better be prayed up that the same hit will come as if you're joining a team. An exorcism team, standing on a street corner. You are going to parade. You are going to stand up. Picture the Civil War where these guys would just come at each other face to face, and you're going to walk in open battle, right? So you're going to be facing the enemy face to face, and he's going to go, oh, I know this guy. Hey, gentlemen, come on over here. Here's the book on this guy. Here's his vulnerabilities. So you got to be very careful. Just like anything else, you've got to get purity of thought, word, and deed. So the most important thing before you go out there is be prayerful, number one, and keep your house clean. Because if you've got some disorder in your home, right, you're now, think about this. This is the way the battlefield lays out. If you're out there and you're trying to do battle against this evil of abortion, right? So this ultimate affrontment, right, against the generative principle that God entrusted to humanity, be fruitful and multiply it. This murder, this blood sacrifice type murder, we've talked about this on the show. You're going to go out there and you're going to militate against the evil that militates against the generative principle, and your own generative principle in your own marriage is not pure. You're vulnerable. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if you're contracepting, you're violating the church's teachings, and you're standing out there militating against the evil forces up there, you're vulnerable. So you have to do that. So you have to know that you are stepping into the battlefield. This is not a political thing. If you want to do political things, get involved in a political side. If you're called to work in the pro-life movement, you've got to realize this is a spiritual battle. And so you need to go out there with spiritual weapons. But first and foremost, what's the last thing you hear, Jesse, before you hear the word fight in the ring? Right? Gentlemen, protect yourselves at all times, right? So you got to protect yourselves. And so you have to know what's at stake, what's at work whenever dealing with these things. So first and foremost, keep spiritually clean.
Check. All right, check that box off. So what would be the next thing now that let's say this guy's a serious Catholic and he's living in a state of grace and things are in order in his home life? There's moral and social order.
If you've got sexual disorder in your marriage, even as a Catholic, uh-huh. If you got sexual disorder in your marriage, you're vulnerable, and you will get hit. And remember, you enter into this voluntarily into the battle, so you have to make sure that you're ready. You know, when I was flying a helicopter in Iraq, we were up against Soviet-made equipment. We had playing cards, you know, the old playing cards with the different equipment that we had to memorize what they look like, and you can't. You know that this machine, the ZSU-23-4, the Zeus, right? It was a four-barreled ground-fired anti-aircraft weapon, four huge barrels designed to take out helicopters, right? You learn to recognize it and avoid it. And so I saw these sprinkled throughout the landscape in Iraq, right? These were designed to take me out, okay? Well, the enemy's got the same weapons designed to take out those are going to militate in various fields. So know that there's going to be a weapon commensurate to you. So you've got to keep your weapon clean. You've got to keep your own life in order and prayed up, number one. Number two, you have to check your intentions, that they're pure. Because what the demon can do is draw you out, this desire. Remember, at the low levels of our conversion, the first things are overcome are very carnal. They're very bodily oftentimes. But the higher you progress in the spiritual life, the more the demon, the more subtle the attack will come. And so he'll begin to use your greatest virtue, your greatest strength. He'll use that against you. So if your greatest strength is zeal for souls, he can subtly manipulate that to where you become focused only on the soul of the unborn, right? And have a hatred, an unholy hatred and distaste for the practitioner, for the baby daddy that took the child there or the woman there. You could develop a real deep distaste for that, and your prayers are no longer effective. You have to be there for the right reasons, for the salvation of souls, including the souls that are most in danger. And the souls most in danger are the women, and also the practitioners, the abortionists, the clinicians, that work in the clinic, etc. So you've got to purify your motives, because if anybody's ever had a teenager, you know that a teenager can walk into the room and they can affect the dynamic of the entire room. They don't have to say a word, but they're in that teenager hormonal bad mood, right? And they project that. Well, in the spiritual realm, when we have anger, when we have an unrighteous hatred, or we have a real distaste, that projects out as well. So that also creates a vulnerability to us, that we'll be drawn down that path. St. Benedict talks about it towards the very end of the Rule of St. Benedict, cautioning against what he calls a wicked or bitter zeal. Okay, so we have to be careful that this bitter or wicked zeal or spirit of bitterness, evil zeal, wicked zeal, spirit of bitterness doesn't enter into your heart, because the minute it does, your prayers are mitigated as well. And you're
got it. Yeah. Jesus 911. Yep, sure does. Dan Schneider, Jess Romero, stick around. Don't turn that dial. You don't want to miss what's up.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. By the way, the month of August is devoted to honoring the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So just try to remind all you Catholics, August is the month to reconsecrate yourself and your family to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And let's not forget that Mary's heart is so pure and grace-filled. She loves us with a mother's love, and she desires for all of us to be united to her Son, Jesus Christ. This devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary has received new emphasis in this century from the visions given to Sister Lucy dos Santos in 1925. She was the oldest of the visionaries of Fatima. And in the visions of Our Lady, Our Lady asked for the practice of the five first Saturdays to help make amends for the offenses committed against her heart and by the blasphemies and ingratitude of men. We're talking with Dan Schneider, and we're having a conversation about how to prepare when you go to an abortion clinic. Dan, I could tell you very clearly in my life, there are two places on planet Earth where I have felt the presence of the devil in a very strong way, in a very powerful way. Two places. Number one, helping out Catholic priests in deliverance ministry, because you actually encounter various demons within the people. But number two, the second place, where I've also encountered, it's almost so thick you can cut it. I've encountered just the presence of evil spirits. It's very thick. When you go to the abortion clinics, you feel the presence of evil spirits there. I mean, I've been going for about 15 years now, and ever since I've been going, ever since I was in California, it's very clear what you're up against when you go to these abortion clinics, and when you're praying there, you feel a pushback. You feel a presence even coming through those walls. You feel people that are cursing you. And so I would say that there's two places where a Catholic is actually doing hand-to-hand combat against demons. Number one, if you're on an exorcism team, you're doing hand-to-hand combat with a priest against a demon. And number two, when you go to in front of an abortion clinic and pray, you're also doing hand-to-hand combat with a demon. Dan, comments?
In fact, every time that in the past that I've been out on the street with 40 Days for Life, every single time somebody's flashing the satanic horns at us, there's strange people show up to do sacrificial rituals. This is definitely spiritual warfare. We use the phrase that the rare gets aerified. Things begin to change. You begin to get projections during the exorcism sessions. Similar phenomenon here because you're directly militating against evil. So number one is if you go into battlefield and there's a platoon of guys out there and one of them doesn't have a helmet on or a flak jacket or boots or a weapon, and another guy's armored up head to toe, which one are you going to shoot at? You're going to start taking out the vulnerable ones first, right? So just don't be that guy. Make sure that your life is in order. Purity of thought, word, and deed. It is going to be purity, and holiness that drives the evil back, whether it's in your home, whether it's at an abortion clinic, or whether participating in this apostolate of deliverance. It's going to be purity and holiness. And number two is you must check and never have an emotional response to evil. It is never appropriate to have an emotional response to evil. I'll give you an example, and I'm not saying that boxing is evil, but the emotional response. I had a fighter, and he was having his first or second fight, and there's our gym is a gym, and there's gyms in the from the barrio, and then there's barrio gyms, right? You know the difference, Jesse. So we're a gym in the barrio, and he was fighting a guy from a barrio gym, okay? And so they don't play by the same rules, you know? So I said, look, the last thing you're going to hear, protect yourself at all times. You never walk out and lower both hands for the handshake. Because some guys, once the guy says fight, everything's fair game. So we train them to, you cover yourself here. And if you want to give a little tap with the glove, you keep distance. It's respect. While he does the double hand thing, the guy sucker punched him. And the minute he sucker punched him, he got emotional. And in the next nine rounds, it was a bloodbath. It was just a street fight with gloves on. It was horrible. It was a horrible display of boxing. My guy creamed the guy. He paid the price for the cheap shot. But nonetheless, it wasn't a pretty fight. You know what I mean? Because he got emotional. You got to stay. You have to teach your fighters. And I know you've trained a lot more fighters than me. You got to stay calm in the ring. You're not in the fight. You're not watching the fight. You're in the fight. Stay calm. You can't be emotional. It doesn't mean you're not motivated. It doesn't mean you don't use your aggression in the ring. But here, when you're standing on the street corner in front of an abortion clinic, you cannot have an emotional response. You have to have a very calm, collected understanding of why you're there, what your purpose is. You cannot be emotional, because the minute you start getting emotional and you have some unholy emotions rise, you're going to get drawn right out into a vulnerable place. So just know that. Stay calm. Know your purpose. You're here to pray for souls. You're here to pray for all the souls, not just the innocent soul of the unborn, whose soul was probably the least in danger compared to the rest of the souls who are committing grave mortal sin. So you're there to pray for souls, and you have to do that in a very unemotional way.
Dan, what about some of the guys that, you know, get pretty zealous and they take sacramentals and start burying sacramentals on the property of these Planned Parenthood buildings, maybe around the landscaping? What would you say is that a dangerous practice? And the reason I ask is because that's that by natural law, that building is not theirs. And so for you to start putting sacramentals and burying them all around the building that you have, you have no claim to that building, it would probably be, I don't know, I'm just guessing, you're going to open yourself up to retaliation. Because again, you have no natural law claims to that building. So what do you say? Is that a safe or an unsafe practice?
No, you're spot on. It's an unsafe practice. There's no reason for it. It's trying to get a quick fix. Remember, we'll keep going back to this, the threefold checklist, right, of effective prayer. Number one is authority. Does this person have requisite authority? Right. So requisite authority flows through the natural law structure. Remember Father Ripperger's definition of a demon, a working definition is a demon is a lawyer from hell. They are the most perfectly ordered creature in the universe. They follow the laws to the letter specifically as God has commanded and God has instilled into their nature. So they will follow that law, and the right to command and the right to bless flows from office and not charism. This is where we differ from other models of deliverance, but those same principles carry over into the home as well as into the apostolate. So you're absolutely right. Who has juridical authority over there? The property owner and the tenant. Most likely, they're two different people. The abortion clinic is renting from the property owner. It could be the same, but probably not. So they have natural rights over the property. The landlord does, but the tenant, the abortion clinic, has their own natural rights by contract over the goods and the services that they provide. So by going around that, you could create a vulnerability. It doesn't mean you'll be retaliated against every time, but number one, that's the vulnerability, and it's not necessarily going to drive the evil ones out of there. Now, that the bishop goes in and authorizes chapter 3, and we've seen it to be very effective when somebody with a mandate from the bishop, a priest from the bishop, has a mandate to pray chapter 3 on a regular basis, very effective. But who has spiritual juridical authority over the diocese? It's the bishop. The bishop does, even over to a limited degree, even among the temporal goods of the diocese, the bishop still has a spiritual authority to a certain degree. So he can authorize someone to go in and pray, a priest to go in and do that, but it's not safe for a layman. What a layman should do, number one, the authority flows through office, and authority, the right to command, in the name of Jesus, I bind this, or to drive demons out, okay, flows through office and not charism. And number two, prayer, effective prayer, is based on merit. What is the merit, the depth of holiness? That's what's going to be most effective here. And number three, prayer begets what it signifies. What specifically are you praying for? So the best prayer for a foot soldier walking down the street to do this is to pray the rosary. The holy recitation of the rosary is very meritorious and is sufficient. And this is the most appropriate response for us to do. Praying the rosary is a very good response with holiness of heart and projecting. You do a very good job, Jesse, teaching about prayers, projecting, because it really is. As you say, was it Padre Pio that says, or the Curé de Ars, our prayers wound the devil? They wound him. We're projecting the love of Jesus. We're projecting the love of the Blessed Mother, calling down upon the situation with our concern for the salvation of souls, and not in some holy righteous anger towards what's taking place there, but for the concern for their souls. So those three things: authority is based on office, not merited through charism, the merit of the one, what is the state of grace of the one who prays, and also specifically what are you asking for, rather than praying prayers to address the demon. You're better off just praying the love of Christ, the maternal care of the Blessed Mother, invoking the angels and the saints to bring conversions and healings. If you can learn how to handle this type of prayer, it's the same principles applied when we're dealing with praying for our family members at home, or praying for our parish, or praying for our government, etc.
Dan, sometimes you'll find some well-intentioned Catholics, they'll have blessed salt, they'll have holy water, and they'll start dousing the abortion, the building where they perform abortions. They'll start dousing it with blessed salt. They'll start dousing it with the holy water. Why would you say that it's something that they should not do?
Yeah, you should remember, authority is also locus-centered. You have authority over where you are, your body, location where you're at, not over necessarily over the things, somebody else's property, but you have complete authority over yourself. So use the sacramentals to protect yourself, to provide protection for yourself and others with you. You know, the holy water, the blessed salt around yourself to protect yourself in a defensive posture. I would recommend using sacramentals as a defensive weapon. You know, when we would, you know, when I trained with the infantry, the Rangers, that sort of thing, you know, we would camo up. You know, you do your tiger stripe camo, all that spooky cool stuff that young guys do, so you blend into the woods. You want to do that with your sacramentals to make yourself as invisible as possible, so that, you know, as John the Baptist says, he must increase, I must decrease. Decrease as much as possible and just call down the love of God. Call down fire from heaven through a heartfelt prayer from a pure heart, and you know, being aggressive, taking on the property, that sort of thing. That's up to the bishop. He has the authority to do that. Let him do it.
Got it. Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Dan Schneider, talking about the do's and don'ts of going to an abortion clinic. Stick around. Don't turn that down. You don't want to miss what's up.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Dan Schneider. We're talking about all things when it comes to going to the 40 Days for Life and getting involved in sidewalk counseling and praying for people that are having an abortion. Dan, I want to just switch gears just a little bit here, because right now, we're living in some very dangerous, precarious times. And what I mean by that is we have a government that's gone rogue. When somebody gets sick, like Cardinal Raymond Burke, they won't even give him, the hospitals are not even giving him ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. I mean, you have third world countries like Mexico, many places in Africa. That's what they give to their citizens normally, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in many third world countries. And guess what? They don't have a problem over there with a pandemic or people getting the COVID-19. But here in this country, it's like they've banned common sense. They're not allowing people to use medication that works, i.e. ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. So my question to you is, one of the reasons I will never get the vaccine, I'm not anti-vax. I'm anti-vax mandate. In other words, if somebody's going to mandate me to get some experimental vax, I got a problem with that. I got a problem with the government saying that I have to get this experimental vax. That's me personally. Something that we don't know much about. We human beings, we seem to be the guinea pigs. But my question to you is, one of the reasons why I think it's very dangerous for Catholics to get these abortion tainted vaccines, I think it's because a lot of these, again, we know that abortion is a blood sacrifice that empowers the demons. It empowers the diabolical. And so we know that every abortion, Satanists tell us that, every abortion is a blood sacrifice to Satan. And so people that are taking these vaccines, what they're doing is they're putting into their body, the blood sacrifice, because these are aborted fetal cells, they're putting them into their body, and who knows what type of spiritual consequences can be at play as a result of that. Am I onto something? Do you think it is possible that there is some type of diabolical affliction that can happen when somebody gets an abortion tainted vaccine, given the fact that we know that blood sacrifice empowers a demon? Would you say that would be spiritually dangerous for a Catholic to do?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really qualified to weigh in on that as a moral theologian or anything. But I do think that the emphasis needs to be that the even the CDF has come out and said, look, the vaccines might be laudatory, but they should not be mandatory. They should be voluntary. You know, I've read articles on the Nuremberg Code. The number one paragraph that came out of the Nuremberg Code is that you have to respect the autonomy of persons and their free will choice, you know, to whether to accept this or that medical procedure. So I think that's the big issue at this point is you know, allowing us the autonomy, people the autonomy to say, I don't feel comfortable with this. I know my body and I know my soul and I choose for these reasons because of conscience, you know. If you remember the story of St. Thomas More, and they portrayed this very well in the movie on St. Thomas More, when they tried to get him to sign off on this divorce from the king, and they said, look, we'll just do it on the side. Nobody will know, you know. We'll write it in a way. He says, don't you understand? I object. I, not my spleen, you know, not my thumb. I object. Pointing us to the essentiality of the conscience well formed. So I think rather than any kind of a political reaction or citing on some kind of political realm, don't get sucked into that realm, but really examine the issues, the things that you have said, examine the issues and determine if from your conscience, your formed conscience as a Catholic, is this right for me? And then make your decision and do the best you can in the current climate.
Yeah. Dan, I want to ask you another question about going to an abortion clinic. Sometimes you'll find some Catholics that'll get fairly zealous. And once again, they'll start doing imprecatory prayers like towards the building or towards the people inside of the abortion clinic. They'll start, borrowing like Protestant deliverance models and start, doing imprecatory prayers and stuff. Why is it dangerous for a Catholic to start doing imprecatory prayers, projecting them towards the people inside that are doing the abortions? Why is that dangerous?
Well, again, we talk about the authority. Authority is based on office. So the office of head of household gives you authority to do imprecatory prayers. Imprecatory meaning to bind, to Latin ligare, to bind. And part of the office means an obligation, an obligare to protect and to provide. That's what authority gives. The authority structure gives us the obligation to provide and to protect. And so that obligation flows from your office of head of household, your office as property owner, your office as, you know, various offices through natural law and divine positive law through matrimony, et cetera. So you just don't have the authority to do that. You have the power to do that and it might work. But, you know, what we've discovered is that retaliation can be, you know, you could be exposed to retaliation. That's why it's best if you work within the structure that God has established through natural law, you'll stay very safe and protected. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the battle is the Lord's, right? We know this even from scripture. This is a holy war. The battle is from the Lord's. We just need to be present and do, if God's calling you to do this, be present and be safe and continue to stand in the gap and pray for all the souls involved, all the souls involved in this egregious act of abortion.
Dan, here's another question that somebody emailed, and I know you've answered it before. Let me see, I grabbed it right here. Okay, yeah. You've answered this before, so, but I'll pitch it towards you. It says, "Hi Dan, I finally started the 30 days of fasting and prayer. What was feeling great. I have a childhood friend in town whom I was very close to, her parents, especially her dad. I actually took over his adoration hour after he passed away about 9 years ago. Well, I was helping pack up things at her parents' house, and we were sharing a lot. She's involved in energy healing. Have you heard of this? I always thought it was kind of weird. Yesterday, I don't know why, but I let her but I let her do what she called, I let her do what she called the treatment on me. Since then, I feel like I have a big knot in my chest. Should I be concerned? Is this energy healing bad? What do I need to do? So that was a question that somebody sent you a while back ago. They're asking basically, hey, I let this guy pray over me. They did energy healing on me. They touched my chest with their hands, they were invoking some type of energy sources. And now the person says, I feel a big knot on my chest. So what would you say? Is energy healing? This is not Catholic, is it? And what are the repercussions of somebody doing this?
Yeah, so we have to distinguish between rights and permissions. The demon always going to claim rights, but he really has no rights over the soul. The baptized Christian has autonomy, is ordered to Christ, and by right belongs to Jesus Christ, or to the God the Father through Jesus Christ. So, but that doesn't mean the person doesn't give permissions. And so when in cases like this, it's very obvious, it's cause and effect. Things were good. I always ask, you know, when you're interviewing the cases, was there any point, did anything ever happen that after which nothing was the same? And this is one of those times where, yeah, nothing was the same after this event. I let her do this thing over me. And so what she did was gave a permission. So let's talk about how it happened, how to get out of it. How it happens is you invoke something foreign to the body. So anytime you invoke a power foreign to the body, it's inappropriate. You can evoke the body's natural energies, and it's perfectly fine. You're using the body's natural energies, acupressure, even acupuncture, if done correctly, draws the body's natural energy for healing. But when you invoke, like through Reiki, when you invoke through yoga, you're invoking a foreign energy, and invoking whatever's behind that energy force into your body, and you gave permission in. So that's the entry point. And it's a violation of the first commandment. So what's the process out? I confess a violation of the first commandment. Do prayers and acts of atonement for that. In the book, the deliverance prayers for use by the laity, there's prayers of reversing decisions. Pray a prayer of reversing decisions. Do a prayer of breaking any soul ties with the individual. Confess it sacramentally and move on.
Good stuff. Jesus 911, two-man car. Jess Romero, Dan Schneider. Stick around. Don't turn that dial. You don't want to miss what's up.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Dan Schneider. So, Dan, some of these vaccines, once again, that have embryonic fetal stem cells, cell lines, to me, there's just no way I'm going to put something like that in my body, because I know that abortion is the blood sacrifice to Satan. And that's, to me, I could see the connection right there, that I'm actually going to be doing something that's going to be giving glory or honor to Satan. And so I wouldn't cross that line. That's just me personally. Dan, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, question. It's a very pertinent issue that we really need to have a conversation with, because you know, there's a lot of conflicting information out there, you know, the connection with abortion so far has been undeniable, and I really truly hope that, and I've heard that University of Baylor is coming up with a protein-based vaccination, and hopefully they'll come up with other ones that have been more tested. And not rush through an experimental phase. So let's just hope that calm heads will prevail, and there'll be something coming out that's safe, you know, and not having this connection with abortion as this one does.
Yeah. Dan, we're working on a project right now. We're almost finished with it. I'm pretty excited. It's going to be a new manual for Liber Christi. We want to kind of resurrect Liber Christu and get this thing up and running, what would you say, Dan, is the meat of the book, the new book that's going to come out? What would you say is the most important component in that book, the new FTC manual, that's going to be helpful for lay people?
Well, we have two in the works, a primer and a manual. The manual is focusing on how folks can work through and self-deliver or to overcome the spiritual obstacles, to try to identify a very practical, functional, tactical way, things to do to attain interior freedom and grow in holiness. The primer is the other text is a primer. It's more geared towards a behind the scenes or what's going on at a more theological level, for a deeper understanding of spiritual warfare. Why the authority structure fleshed out more deeply, for example, the entry points, how to identify entry points. The dreams. How do we handle dreams as Catholics? Some of these pictures that don't necessarily relate to everybody. So there's kind of a twofold approach. One is going to be, looking at the paradigm of Egypt. What was it like? What are the church fathers often used Egypt as a allegorical reading of the soul's journey from death to life, from slavery to freedom, from sin to union with God. And so that's kind of the overarching, what does that look like on a functional, practical basis? And what are some of the things like we just talked about in the last section, where have you given permissions? If the evil one is holding in your life or oppressing in any way, how do you identify the defect in the vice or the defect in virtue? And how do you supplement the virtue and overcome the vice and grow in holiness? So a lot of it's very functional and practical. Hopefully it'll be helpful for the church,
Dan, I've heard Father Ripperger say that the reason there's so many people that get diabolically afflicted, he says, is because we're not a very virtuous people. He says most people in America, he says, just lack virtue. He says, and so as a result of that, they lack virtue. They don't try to live a virtuous life. And number two, they don't know their faith. The average Catholic in America doesn't know their faith. He says those are the two biggest reasons why people become diabolically afflicted. They don't know their faith, number one. And number two, they're not virtuous. They just basically live, disordered lives, morally, socially disordered lives. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, the saying that we often use is this: the demon enters through sin and he holds through heresy. So part of the manual is to identify those areas of heretical thought and that become an obstacle to the full ascent to the truths of the Catholic faith until you can grow in freedom. And so oftentimes it's always a wound. A sin, some grave sin usually took place, and then it holds through false beliefs. And sometimes the false beliefs are very clear. I don't believe in I need to go to a priest to confess my sins, or I don't believe that Mary was perpetually virgin. Some are very obvious, but sometimes it's a very subtle heresy. I don't believe God can forgive me. I don't believe that I'm beyond help, I'm beyond hope, or I haven't suffered enough. Jesus's atoning death for us was not enough, that I'm being punished by God. It's a distorted view of God. Yes, there's an amount of work to be done. There's an amount of suffering to be done, purification to be done. But oftentimes there's these very subtle lies that people hold on to, we all hold on to. And these subtle lies become holding points for an entry, little ways that the enemy can hold on to our interiority or manipulate our interiority. So tightening all that up, including our beliefs. Purity of thought, word, and deed means fully and truly assenting to what the church teaches in its fullness and accepting that. Because in that, as Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? St. Paul, you shall know the truth, or Jesus said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. or set you free. It's embracing the truth. And part of embracing the truth is embracing the truths of the teachings of the church for our own interior freedom.
Dan, let me ask you another question about the whole abortion industry. We know that in the Old Testament, there was actually a demon god called by the name of Molech. He was basically the god of they would sacrifice. Yeah, child sacrifice. He was very, very popular in the Old Testament, this demon god. But we've had this same type of demon god throughout history. I mean, the Aztecs had their own version of Molech. The Indians,
American the Druids, Indians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Druids, the Canaanites, the Carthaginians, the Phoenicians. It seems to me like if every culture has had this demon god that likes, that just loves child sacrifice. My question to you is: would you say that an abortion would be basically like, is this a way of these abortionists, is it a way of worshiping Satan?
Yeah, you can look up a YouTube video by Curtis Boyd, who has several abortion clinics throughout the Southwest, and he claims to be a Baptist minister, and it's a very disturbing video, but it's very freely accessed on YouTube. Of course, Virgin Most Powerful is not accessible on YouTube, but Curtis Boyd is, and he describes his, you know, he says, I know that I'm taking the life of a baby, but I'm sending the soul to God, or I'm sending the soul upward, or something. He uses some strange language. It's a very bizarre a video, but he's open. He has several clinics and clinics that do partial birth abortion throughout the Southwest. So this is the way that in the spiritual realm, this is the way the demon sees it. Seems as a blood sacrifice. So and the Satanists themselves claim it, and they're starting to try to push laws in certain municipalities that say, hey, this is our cultic ritual. This is a violation. To end abortion is a violation of our religious freedom. So the Satanists have made it very clear this is the way they see it.
Yeah, I'm looking at a couple of articles here. You're right. One in 2015, it says, LifeSite News, Satanist to Missouri governor, abortion is our sacrament. Here's another one. The Satanic Temple is suing both Missouri and the United States, claiming that laws restricting abortion violate its members' free exercise of religion. Yeah, there's a bunch of articles. There's another one. Jex Blackmore, former national spokesman for the Satanic Temple. He says, Blackmore says, we've waged a long legal battle to claim that killing babies through abortion is a religiously protected satanic ritual and is nonviolent. So,
is their own language. Yeah, this is why when you go into a clinic to pray, just be aware that this is what you're up against. So pray prayers of protection beforehand, pray the rosary during, project prayers of healing, of protection, protect, you know, love, God's mercy, that God would change their hearts, etc. Invoke the Blessed Mother, and then pray prayers against retaliation at the end. You know, we go into the sessions, I can, you know, whether it's catechetical sessions or sessions, solemn sessions, it's good for the team members to spend, for every hour in session, they should have an hour before the Blessed Sacrament. So I think that's a good policy, and it helps protect you, but it also helps purify your prayer. So if you're going to go spend an hour at the clinic, you should be spending at least an hour before the Blessed Sacrament praying. And don't ever neglect the combination of contemplative prayer, you know, before the Blessed Sacrament, consecrated religious, praying for the team and praying for that ministry, and also others praying before the Blessed Sacrament at the same time. You know, we can't neglect the powerhouse of grace, of prayer, that is, the consecrated religious praying for us, but also spending time for the Blessed Sacrament. That is as important or more important than standing out in the clinic. It just should go hand in glove.
Dan, do you think that we're going to we will ever see the eradication of abortion in our lifetime?
You know, the signs of hope at times, and then it's like spiritual battle, and you take ground and you lose ground. And so I think we're seeing pockets of it in counties. You're seeing states battling back on the legal realm. You're seeing the majority. It's not an overwhelming majority, but the majority of in polls of Americans believe it's wrong, either, you know, gravely wrong, or, you know, they would overturn it in some matter. You can look at the statistics, but it's over 50% of Americans believe it's wrong and should be reversed. So I think there's a movement towards that. We have to keep working that angle as well.
Amen. All right, Dan. Good stuff.
Good as always, Jess.
Yep. We'll see you next week. We are EOW, End of Watch, 10-7. We're out. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics, coming from the Midwest Command Center. As for Jess and Dan, we are 10-7. We're out. God bless you. Keep the faith.